Welcome to the Art and Science of Difficult Conversations. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lucy, and we love having difficult conversations.
That's right. And each week, we'll either share a tip, hear how others have gotten better at difficult conversations, or demonstrate common difficult conversations and what to do and what not to do.
Let's get into it.
Have you ever had that frustrating experience of working for a boss who keeps criticizing you and micromanaging you? Or maybe you are a team leader who works with team members that you don't trust that they get the job done right. And your one-on-ones are not going anywhere as the team members just don't seem to take any responsibility and the same issues continue to happen. Well, whether you're a team leader or a team member, or anyone else who's ever found themselves thinking, there has to be a better way to handle this, this episode is for you. So brace yourself. First comes the role play where we show how not to have these feedback conversations. But don't worry, we won't leave you there. And we'll also role play and share some tips on how to make these feedback conversations better. So let's get to it.
So we can jump in. You can start off. I guess we'll start it as like we're in the middle of a one-to-one, or we started a one-to-one. So we're
okay. We already started. Okay. So Chris, this is really upsetting me. It's frustrating. How many times do we need to have this conversation? I mean, the line number 13, I told you so many times before, you need to fill out word by word exactly what they want the other department from us to have it. Otherwise, they're going to return it to us. Like how hard it is to fill it out. Like the line number 13, I think I've talked about it millions of times. I'm like, Lucy, what's wrong with you, Chris? Like this is what I'm thinking. Like, I cannot believe it.
Lucy, you always criticize me every time I'm in here. You always nitpick every little detail of my work. I'm not some kid that just started this job. I've been doing this for quite a while. I've been doing this longer than you have.
Yeah, but why you're not doing the line number 13? I mean, I cannot believe it. It's not like a rocket science here.
Yeah, so I made a mistake. So what? How often do I make mistakes? You constantly criticize. You're always micromanaging every single thing I do, the rest of the team does. This is not helpful to us. This is really just getting in our way. You're just really standing in our way of getting things done.
Well, it seems you guys are not getting the things done. That's why I need to step in and like tell you to do stuff and you still don't do it. It drives
me crazy. Lucy, this is because you ask us to bring everything by you. We have to run every single decision by you, which slows us down.
Well, because you guys didn't show that you're trustworthy. It seems you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're forgetting stuff. So then I have to jump in so things get done. You know how frustrating that is?
It's frustrating for us too. So what do we want to do then? Because we can't keep doing it this way because it's not working.
Maybe we should pause here.
No. And another thing, Lucy.
So
that was good. That was getting heated and that was getting nowhere for sure.
That's true. So the possible next steps could be, okay, what we're gonna do. I'm just giving notice. Could be one of your possible reactions. Like, I'm out. I cannot deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
Or I will say, you know what? This team is, we need a new team. I need to fire these people.
Right.
That could, right?
Well, yeah, from my from the employee perspective, I'm done. Either I'm quitting, or either I'm actively quitting or looking for a new job.
Yeah.
Or I'm quiet quitting where I just don't even care about the quality. I just don't even want to do the work anymore. So I'm just going to live my life the way, you know, I'll just do the bare minimum. You can do all the work and I'll just kind of push paper essentially so that you can make all the work happen.
And from my side, the boss's side, it's like the self-fulfilling prophecy. In a way, I see people as unreliable. I don't trust my team. And of course, they're not motivated. And so it's fulfilling the prophecy. What I'm thinking, nobody wants to do anything because I micromanage everybody.
Yeah.
And they pick up on the lack of trust.
Right.
So nobody, in a way, is happy. Nobody gets what they need. Nobody gets what they want.
Right.
And everybody on both sides of the conversations, they are miserable.
Yeah.
And also the performance suffers as a result.
Right. That's for sure. And I think it's so common in these kind of situations where like we're both telling each other our own stories of what's happening. Right. So you're telling a story to yourself of we're unreliable. I'm just saying that you're a micromanager and you don't trust us and you don't know what we're doing. So we're just basing it off of that. We're just butting heads because we're not trying to solve a problem. We're just venting at each other, essentially.
Makes sense. Yeah. And we are attacking the other. Basically, this is your fault. You should fix it. You should be different.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at what is the problem that impacts both of us, how can we both of us solve it in a way?
Right. Right. Yeah. We both use the language like you always, or you yep. do this, you do that. So we kept trading those back and forth for quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. So should we try the better way?
We could try. Let's see what happens.
I wonder, you know, if we, so you kind of gave us kind of a pause in a way of like, so what do we do next? So let's say I did take some recent training on difficult conversations.
Yeah.
And somehow I remember. What do you think of that plan?
Well, let's try that way first. I'd like to try both. Let's try it like where you're trying to do it better, and then we'll try it the other way where I, as the employee, am trying to do it better.
Okay.
I think a lot of people don't realize that both sides can actually control the conversation well.
Okay. So let's try one where I'm going to do better, but you're still.
Yep. Yeah. Let's do it.
Angry.
Yeah. For sure. And frustrated. Let's make it happen.
All righty. Oh, Chris, you know what? I cannot do this anymore. Let me just take a sip of my tea here. I need to calm down. Give me a moment, please. Give me just
fine.
A minute.
Yeah, you know, fine.
This is not going anywhere.
Yeah, I'll drink my coffee too then.
Okay. Okay. One more sip. I hear you. I know you've been in this department way longer than me. I'm still kind of new to the company. I hear you. That is frustrating for you. I get it. I'm hearing that you perceive me as the micromanager. And I'm hearing that I keep criticizing you. And, you know, the thing that I can agree on, yes, I do bring up lots of issues with you. And definitely I could also be better as a leader in actually bringing some things that works. And the line 13 is one of lines, I don't know how many lines there are on the report, 50, that you've actually done well, all the other ones, and I never bring that up. So yes, there is definitely room for improvement. So to your question, what do we do next? I'll definitely be more mindful of acknowledging what actually works and what you're doing well. And, you know, I really want to change how we work here. I took this seminar and they gave me some tips and strategies. So I'm really trying here. So please work with me here. I don't want us to fight anymore. I think that doesn't work. It stresses me out. And I see that you're stressed out as well. You know, this is also my responsibility, both of our responsibilities to do the job correctly. So the other department can do then their job correctly and everything runs smoothly. So the line number 13, I know it seems bizarre that I can bring it out, but it's kind of important to get it correctly filled out. So how can I support you? What's standing in your way? Tell me, how is your situation? And I, this time, instead of just criticizing you, I really want to listen. How is it for you?
Well, thank you for acknowledging that. Look, I get it. You're new, as you've been here less than a year. I get it. You know, you just got to trust us. You just got to trust that we know what we're doing, right? We've been here for a while. We want to do good work. You know, we don't want to make mistakes. Like, that really is a mistake. Like, I get it. You bring that up. And that's fine. You just got to trust that we know what we're doing. So, like, you got to, it would be helpful if you just took away that requirement that we have to run everything by you. You know, is it okay that you spot check our work? Yeah, I think that's fine. Like, obviously, I don't want to make mistakes. So, yeah, you can catch these mistakes, but it just takes way too much time for us to run everything by you. It's just not sustainable for us.
Okay. So I'm hearing that one of the things that you would like is to me to trust you guys more and me not being kind of the bottleneck in a way, not having to run everything through me. So my concern is, you know, I do catch a lot of mistakes. So if I don't catch it, then how do we make sure that somebody catches it, that you guys catch it? What would you say right. can be done about that?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I don't know what we could do then, because, yeah, I don't want those mistakes either. But yeah, having to run everything by you is just takes too much effort. Is there somebody whose work you have to consistently has more mistakes than another person?
That's a good point. I can look and kind of, I feel it was kind of spread equally. I cannot remember if there was one person. Well, I feel I keep bringing this to you a lot. We've had many conversations. I know also Jennifer keeps making mistakes. The rest of the team, it seems fine. So how about we do this? Well, before that idea, what would you say happens when you make a mistake? Help me understand, like, what is your process? What's missing? Is it like just having too much work or not being focused, being interrupted? What's happening?
It's the too much work. Right. We keep responding to emergencies from other departments. And so we have to drop what we're doing. And so then we just get stuck with having to constantly move back and forth between responding to an emergency, going back to our work, responding to an emergency. And then because it delays this, we have to kind of rush the product. So, and that's across the board, right? That's what we constantly talk about. So I wonder that maybe the thing is there a way to reduce the amount of kind of quote unquote urgent things that come across our desks? Is there a way for maybe for you to field those requests so that we don't necessarily, so that we can focus on doing this specific part?
Well, that's a good idea. I guess, how about we do this? I can look on my end if there's anything that I can do about the urgent request and anything I can redirect from you, so you guys have actually, I guess what I'm hearing is lots of urgent requests. I could see if there's anything. And at the same time, you know, I think there's always going to be some interruptions and requests.
Sure.
And what would you say could be something that you still can do before you send the paperwork to the other department? Let's say if it's not going through me, what could you do before you send it to make sure that everything is correct?
Well, this is a little more out there. What if we paired up and check each other's work? So we use each other as a quality check before we send it out. Because we all know the work that we need to do. You know, we can always at least find somebody else that's here, right? It's never going to be like everybody is off at the same time.
True. Would you want to talk with Jennifer about it and see if you guys, since you guys want me to trust you, how about you two come up with a plan and a strategy and something that would work for you?
Perfect.
To make sure that your work, actually, my concern is so that work is done correctly. As far as, you know, that, if the work is done correctly, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then I can trust you.
Okay.
So how about you guys talk, come up with a plan, and then let's do a test run for like a week and two. And then we have a meeting and we reflect and see how it went. What do you think of that?
Great. Yeah, let me talk to Jennifer. I'll talk to Jennifer and the rest of the team and we'll think of something. But I think that team or the partner check probably makes the most sense. But let me check with everybody else.
Sounds good. Awesome. Thanks, Chris. Really appreciate you working with me on this one. I think we got on the wrong foot at the beginning. So let's try a different way now.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you, Chris.
So that was better. Good break.
Yes.
I think, you know, I think that's an important, what you did was you physically paused the conversation. You didn't just go into, wait, let me try something new. You actually paused it, which I think is huge and super helpful in kind of breaking the conversation from one phase to a separate phase altogether.
And it seems you also took a little moment and you said, okay, let me get my coffee. So also it allowed you to maybe calm down a little bit because you weren't that angry anymore.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe I should have been more angry. But again, I think it's hard to stay angry when the other person physically slows down and like gets quieter and calms down. That's so hard to just stay angry at that point.
So even when we said you would stay angry,
yeah,
it was still harder actually to stay angry.
Right.
So that's a proof of, you know, the neuron, what is it? The mirror neurons that like the emotional contagious effect in a way.
Yeah.
So absolutely. When one person is upset, it triggers the other one. When one person calms down, it's also opportunity for the other one to kind of calm down and slow down. Let's start thinking about solutions. And actually, I think that's a great solution there. One. What else would you say worked?
I think you acknowledged that you were micromanaging. So this is hard. I think people who are micromanaging may not always acknowledge that they're micromanaging, but you did that. And I think that was helpful. Mm-hmm. Acknowledging the dynamics, you brought it explicitly what's happening. I think that's pointing out on both sides is a huge deal. And acknowledging that your way might not have been the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Taking accountability for your part is huge. So a lot of that is a lot more emotional awareness than a lot of people have. A lot of people don't naturally have that kind of emotional awareness. So it'd be interesting to see like if somebody was to how people would grow that if they didn't naturally have that, right? Because you have to learn like, okay, I'm getting out of control. And also I have a pattern of being micromanager.
So one way I would say the stepping stone possibly could be, you know, learning to validate other people and hearing what they're saying, even when we don't agree.
That's huge.
Saying, you know, Chris, I'm hearing that you think that you perceive me as a micromanager. So I'm basically saying, I'm hearing you. I don't have to necessarily agree with it.
That's right.
But I'm hearing you that you perceive me this way.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. And I think that could be a first step of actually improving of like, what can we acknowledge, validate that the other person is seeing so they feel hurt and acknowledged?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the main goal, right? Having the other person feel acknowledged, feel be seen, be heard, understood. It's very common. I see the parallels with even when you're talking about culture and race and across diversity, it doesn't matter what your intent was. It's really the impact that's the important part. So the other person feels offended or they feel hurt. That's what matters, right? So you focus on that and you focus on what can we do moving forward.
Yeah. So one of the specific steps for those of you that are watching maybe could be, how could you validate people that you're in conflict with? Could you take a sip of water or tea or coffee for a moment or just take a deep breath?
Mm-hmm.
And then reflect back what you are hearing that their point is.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you would like to add, Chris? to this.
Yeah, I think the break is could even be, it doesn't have to be just one sip, right? It could be, let's take a break for half an hour. Let's come back in an hour and talk about this. Sometimes it's good to just physically disengage and get out of there.
Absolutely. Or just even take a break.
Yep. Physically take a break, get out of the room or wherever you're talking.
Yeah.
And then start again.
I wonder if even change of the physical space, you know, let's go for a walk or let's go to a coffee shop and talk about it outside.
Yeah.
If that would make a change in just the dynamics, because if they're used to fight, especially if there was a dynamics in a specific room, just being in that room can bring up some emotions of anger and resentment, right. Possibly.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I think going for a walk is really powerful.
Very good. Awesome. Well, if you have any questions or suggestions or want to share your own difficult conversations that we could role play here, let us know. Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy. This was great.
Thanks, Chris. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.